I'm Erica Wise, host of Let's Get Real, the cooking show about finding, preparing, and eating food. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Welcome to Radio Cherry Bomb. I'm Carrie Diamond.
And I'm Claudia Wu.
And we're the founders of Cherry Bomb, the indie magazine about women and food. We're broadcasting live from Heritage Radio Network, located in the back of Roberta's Restaurant in Bushwick, Brooklyn, and we have a great show for you today. Before we get started, we'd like to thank our sponsor, American Express Open, for supporting this season of Radio Cherry Bomb. We're big fans of the Shop Small campaign and how Open supports small businesses, so we couldn't be happier about this partnership. So, how are you today, Claudia?
I'm good.
You're better than me.
I'm probably better than you. Poor Carrie's had a rough day today.
It started really well. The folks at Inc. magazine asked me to speak at their Women's Summit today, which is really exciting. You know, we love nothing more than a Women's Summit.
Nothing more than women. Women all the time.
Exactly. But I had to give like a 30-minute speech. So if you know me, as hopefully some of you out there do, you know I agonized over it for like 2 weeks and it wrecked everything.
I told her just to talk really slowly the whole time. Kill time.
I did think about that. And then my girlfriend, Laura Brown, said, underthink it.
And that's good advice.
I know, but I'm not an underthinker. I'm an overthinker. You know that.
I do know that, unfortunately.
But then fate smiled upon me. I was getting off the L train. And who did I bump into but our first guest, Lisa Fetterman.
Oh, amazing.
Who's one of my favorite people on the planet. She's going to do a little co-hosting today. I think whether we want her to or not, probably. Right, Lisa? I'm waiting for you to jump in. But Lisa basically helped carry me here because I was in so much pain.
Aww.
And we were talking about, imagine if guys got periods.
Yeah, you're just secretly bleeding from your genitals, chilling.
I think they would. The world would be a very different place, I think.
I think the world would be a very different place. I think it would be a national holiday like every day. Right?
I am just listening to you guys talk and giving my praise hands.
Oh, wait. We have some good news. Oh, we forgot to say. So, Kalise is one of our guests today. Yes, that Kalise. We're very excited. Kalise is actually not only is she like the amazing singer behind the Milkshake song and so many other great songs.
She does a million things. 6 albums. She found time to graduate from the Le Cordon Bleu. She has a line of sauces called Bounty and Full, and last year she hosted a cooking series on the Cooking Channel called Saucy and Sweet.
If you licked her, it would taste delicious, I'm pretty sure.
Fortunately, she's not here, so Lisa won't be doing that. But Kalise is a little under the weather, so she's actually calling in, and we're going to have her online in a second. And Lisa's a giant fan and has seen her live, so we told Lisa she could ask one question as long as it was like rated PG-13. hey, Liz, our engineer in the studio there, how are you doing? Can Liz hear us?
Yes, I'm here. I'm just making sure that everything's going to be perfect, because I, too, am a big Kalise fan.
Oh, so. Awesome. All right, so do we have Kalise on the line? It's a big moment.
Hey.
Radio chat. Kalise, hi.
Yay. Hi, how are you?
Hey, we're great. How are you doing?
I'm okay. Exhausted, but okay.
We're sorry. We hear you're a little under the weather.
I've kind of been running myself ragged. I'm fine, though. I'm just sort of, like, eating a break.
All right. Well, we won't make this painful on you at all. But Claudia just told everybody all the amazing stuff that you've been doing. And one of the reasons we're having you on the show is because your cookbook is out.
Yes, it is.
So tell us a little bit about the cookbook.
Well, it's called My Life on a Plate. And, you know, it's exciting because it's kind of been a long time coming, and I've been working on it for a while. And, you know, it was sort of all the things that I loved growing up and all the things that I loved traveling, and just sort of put them all together. And it was kind of, it makes me feel like it is like my, you know, biography sort of through food.
So tell us about some of the recipes in there. If we were to pick one recipe, which is the one we absolutely have to make?
Oh, man. That's all right. I mean, I guess the oxtail zucca poutine is one of my favorites, I think.
Ooh, tell us more. What is that?
Well, it's, you know, poutine is, it's actually Canadian.
Oh, poutine, yes. Oh, we know what poutine is, yes.
But then I sort of just did a little twist on it, and I do, instead of fries, I do juca fries.
Oh, yum.
Yeah, and then it's just a stewed oxtail, so it's just really rich and delicious and super low fat. But it's great. It's I think that's a real good one.
Well, we have our friend Lisa Fetterman here. She's one of the guests on the show, and she's a big food tech person from San Francisco. And it turns out she's a huge fan of yours and has seen you live. And she wanted to throw out a question or two to you.
Man, cool. Khalees.
Khalees.
What you just said that was your favorite recipe is so indicative of who you are as a person. I used to be so intimidated by you, but then I saw you on MTV and you were like going ham at this candy store with a chocolate fountain. I was like, oh my God, that girl can put away. I love her.
That's so funny. I can't even remember that. That's intense.
Like, what are you eating on the daily?
What am I eating on the daily? Well, I've been traveling, so it's kind of been, you know, sporadic. I was in, I went on a food tour in Taipei a couple days ago.
Wow.
And, yeah, so I was eating, like, you know, lots of strange mochi things and, like...
I'm from Taiwan, so, yes.
Yeah, so there was, yeah, it was great. And then I, you know, ate, what did I have? It was something called Tiger Bites Pig, which is this, like, really fabulous bao bun situation with, like, pork belly and, like, sautéed greens, and it was just, it was fantastic.
They named that after you, for you.
Obviously, clearly, yeah.
She says that with love. So just also tell us, you know, you have a huge music career, and you kind of put everything on hold to go to Le Cordon Bleu, like Claudia said, and become a chef. That's not, you know, a typical career trajectory for somebody in music. What was that all about?
I think just, you know, I guess I feel like at the time I had been doing, I'd been professionally performing and putting out albums and doing music for 10 years. And, you know, I signed my first deal when I was around 17, 18 years old. And I think it was really, I don't know, I feel like I kind of woke up 10 years later and thought, like, gosh, maybe I just want to do something else for a minute, you know. I just kind of wanted to get off the train, and it was the first time in my adult life that I wasn't signed to a label, and so I just decided, hey, you know, I think I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna go to culinary school, and I'm kind of an all or nothing person anyway. So I figured, if you're gonna do it all the way.
So why food though? Did you grow up cooking?
I grew up cooking. Yeah, my mom had a catering business. I always cooked. I've loved to cook, and I think going to school for me was one of those things. I don't know. I kind of felt like it was sort of validating for me in a lot of ways, because, like I said, I always cooked. I learned to cook from my mom. It's amazing. But this really kind of gave me my voice. It gave me my legs. So I became my own chef.
That's so funny, because you're so expressive on stage. You know, I'm like, damn, this girl can, like, express herself in so many different ways. Like, what? Is that what drew you to it? Like, now you feel like you've expressed yourself to the maximum?
No, I just think, you know, food is such a, it's always been such a huge part of my life. And even though I wasn't doing it professionally, it was a huge part of my life before I even went to school. And so now it's just about, like I said, really kind of just going all the way and taking the plunge, because I am that kind of person. I feel like if I'm going to do something, I want to give it, you know, 100%. So, yeah, now I express myself in the kitchen.
Well, Khalees, thank you so much. We all want some oxtail poutine now and those tiny sandwiches you were talking about. We're going to cut it here, because we know we want you to save that amazing voice of yours. But congratulations. We're so excited that you're part of the food world, because we need cooler people like you in the food world.
Thank you. I love that.
And everybody needs to get your cookbook. So run out there and take a look. Go to your favorite indie bookstore and ask them if they've got Khalees's cookbook, and check it out. So, Khalees, take care. Feel better.
Thank you so much, guys. I appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. So that was Khalees. We didn't ask the M-word question.
No, we're too classy for that.
Yeah, exactly. I'm guessing everybody knows what we're talking about. I also want to announce that Claudia and I are resigning, and we're just going to give our show over to Lisa Fetterman, because I feel like...
Bow down to Lisa.
Yeah. I feel like you were born to do this.
You guys just like bring it out of me.
Yeah, I think you're naturally like this. So anyway, I think you have some questions for Miss Lisa.
Yeah, we should talk about Lisa. In case you guys don't know, she is the CEO and co-founder of Namiku. It's a sous vide immersion circulator designed for the home cook. I kickstarted, so I'm still waiting in the mail. Waiting by my mailbox, waiting for it to come.
Girl, I got you.
But yeah, now I have an in. I can get mine early. But she studied journalism at NYU, and she's worked with the likes of Jean-Georges, Mario Batali, Hearst, and the Daily News. She's been recognized for her work with Namiku.
Wait, say it one more time. I want to make sure I'm saying it right.
Namiku.
Nom-nom. All right.
Okay.
So Forbes and Zagat have named her in their 30 under 30 lists. And she's also been named a White House honored maker.
Oh, for real? Did you go to the White House?
I did.
Oh, my God. What'd they do once you stepped in the White House? They must have...
Well, first...
They must have been like, who picked this girl?
Was the Secret Service all over you?
They were. Because I had this, like, dildo thingy that is Namiku. And they were like, hey,
go through it. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, we have to explain. She's got to explain what this thing is.
Yes, so it's the first ever home sous vide immersion circulator, and it's really small. It's the smallest that you'll ever see. It clips onto any pot you already own. You fill it up with water. You put your ingredients inside of a bag and drop in the water and then just walk away. When you come back, you have a world-class meal, and this is just how every single top chef in the world does it. And now a lot of them do it with my machine, like at Love Madison Park and Noma, Saison, Restaurant Meadowood,
I mean, it's so smart because it is a space saver for sure. I mean, if you've ever watched Top Chef and seen them sous vide, there's like a big tub and like it's very complicated. But this literally, I guess, is the size of a dildo and clips onto any pot. So, and it's also affordable.
Yeah, $199.
Why did you kickstart, Claudia? You don't buy a lot of...
You're
a smart shopper.
I don't buy a lot of kitchen utensils. I do have a small kitchen. But the idea of having perfectly soft-boiled eggs every morning... a soft-boiled egg every morning, basically. It just drew me in. And you guys had a great Kickstarter for both models. You had the first model raised around $500,000, maybe?
Yes.
And then the second starter, which is the one that I kickstarted, is a Wi-Fi-enabled...
Now you can cook with your phone, yeah.
Now you can cook with your phone, and they have an app called Tinder, so you can whatever.
Called Tinder? You invented Tinder? So impressed.
I wish. I invented Tinder, the app that on your phone that your significant other won't mind is on your phone, because it means you're making dinner.
Yeah.
I could see if I looked at my boyfriend's phone and saw an app, though, that said Tinder, I would think it was Tinder. I'd be like, what? Oh, wait. Oh, that's Lisa Fetterman.
You'd go into it, and you would fall in love with him again.
So you started, you were also a fan of Top Chef, and you were watching it one night, and this was when you were 22, and you wanted to get a sous vide device, and your boyfriend at the time.
Oh, yeah. Abe, he's my husband and baby daddy now. He has his PhD in plasma physics from Princeton. Yeah, and he went to Caltech for physics, which is like where all the geniuses go. And I was telling him about my obsession with sous vide. I mean, when I worked for Jean-Georges and all those folks, they had that huge hulking piece of laboratory equipment. And I tasted the food out of it. I was like, oh my God. I was like basically brought to my knees. Like, this is so good. It's like I went into the future for a moment and tasted what food could be. And then I came back and I had to like tell everybody. You know, like 10 years ago, if I went back to my old self, I'd be like, Lisa, buy Google stock. But instead, I told myself like, hey, you have to make this happen. I can make it happen now because it's not available anywhere else. And I told my boyfriend at the time, he was like, yo, let's make a prototype. And that's what we did. It works so well. At 64 degrees Celsius, that's when the yolk coagulates before the whites. And you have this like halo of a white around the yolk. It's so good.
I'm looking forward to having that at my house soon.
Yeah, and we just traveled all around the United States, helping people make their own sous vide machines. Along the way, we taught people how to code, how to solder, until finally people were like, yo, just make the real thing I plug into my wall. And we're like, yo, we're going to China then. We go there, we come back 1 week before our wedding, and we beg our wedding videographers, like, please, can you help us make a Kickstarter video? They're like, all right. We put it up on Kickstarter, and it becomes the number one most funded project at the time in the food category.
Just like Cherry Bomb. Oh, wait, no. That didn't happen. But we did well, and we thank everyone who supported Cherry Bomb on Kickstarter. Go ahead, Lisa.
Yeah, we just had a wicked-ass listserv. Because, like, I would go on Twitter and see everybody who hashtags sous vide, and I would drive to their house if I can. And for the cost of the parts, I would solder together a sous vide machine for you. And to this day, the first person I ever did that for is now the official cheesemonger of Love and Madison Park.
Wow.
Yeah, and he makes a lot of his cheeses with my machine. Because it controls the temperature so well, he's made a dozen cheeses that the world has never seen before. Because it's able to kill certain types of bacteria and let certain amounts live. That's just like...
Fascinating.
Yeah, that makes me wake up before my alarm clock in the morning.
So, you know, people still are pretty much cooking with the same things, though, our moms cooked with, our grandmothers cooked with, and they're really not bringing a lot of modernity into their kitchen. You know, I think it kind of ended with the microwave, and you're part of this new wave of really advanced kitchen gadgetry. Where is it all going?
It's all going so you can have yum yum in your mouth all the time. That's my jingle. but really, it's like people expect more. They really do. You watch Top Chef, you open up Cherry Bomb, and you're like, whoa, I want to eat that food. Well, I'm offering you a solution that's super simple.
Yeah, and it's basically foolproof. I mean, cooking is a science, and like you said, eggs coagulate at different temperatures, and you can hold an egg at 64 degrees Celsius for the entire day, and it won't overcook.
That's crazy.
It's insane. Cooking is science.
Mm-hmm.
So who are some of the modernist chefs that you love?
Ooh, you know, Harold McGee is actually an advisor in my company. I love Harold. Love him. He was like, you know, writing about camel milk way before it was cool.
Is it cool? I missed the memo.
It's probably lactose free though.
I'm bringing it in. I'll bring it in. And I'm also really into people who just cook food well. You know, I'm not obsessed with spherification, all that stuff. Although I, you know, put it in front of me, I'll eat it. Oh my God. I won't eat foam though. Foam freaks me out. Looks like somebody hocked a loogie on the plate. But I love Chris Constantino. I think what he's doing is modern.
Amy, you are allowed to speak.
Oh, I am?
Our next guest is Amy Guitard,
and she's been making weird gestures in the background.
Amy was about to jump out of her seat, so we're letting her say a few words.
Yay. Obviously, I love Grant Achatz, the blind ninja of Alinea. Oh, my God.
I still haven't eaten it.
I really want to go. My brother is gone. He's more of a foodie than I am.
Hopefully, Claudia and I will be in Chicago. We want to go to Elizabeth, to Elena Reagan's place, so many places we want to
visit. Ooh, Ideas. L Ideas was the shocker of my trip to Chicago. I was like, this is so freaking good.
What was that?
L Ideas. It's a...
Duh.
It's in like the shadiest part of Chicago, and they make sure you have a car coming for you before you leave the restaurant. But it's modernist and fun. It's like just bros rocking out. There's nothing too over intellectualized about it, but they really, really care, and they're just like tired of people judging.
Okay. Aren't we all?
Yeah.
Tell us about your other baby.
Oh, the real baby? Oh, Mr. Snarf?
The one that came out of you.
They both came out of her, kind of.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I sous vide him in my body for 10 months at my exact body temperature. He is so cute. He's almost 2.
Is there a machine for that?
Oh, dang. That's my next invention.
That should be your next invention. I will sign up for that. I will be the first Kickstarter.
Girl.
Do you sous vide the baby food?
I do. You know, when I first gave birth, I'm the CEO of the company, so I only took 2 weeks off. And
That's very, very San Francisco, Silicon Valley.
I would pump my boob milk, and I was like, this is so precious. Like, no way am I going to heat it up and, like, burn out all the nutrients, right, and just become sugar water. So I just put it in the sous vide. the NAMI coup at my exact body temperature that day. My body and my baby was like, nom, 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 nom.
Another use for a sous vide device.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With baby food, what's great about heating it up with the NAMI coup is that you retain all the nutrients. You take so much freaking time making all these teeny tiny perfect foods for your baby. Like, to like only nuke the nutrients later, no thank you. Yeah, so I just make it all in there. Batch cook it.
So Lisa, have you also raised venture capital, or has it all been the Kickstarter money?
I have raised venture capital. I had a seed round.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. So before Kickstarter, people would laugh me out of their boardrooms. They'd be like, what the hell is this, right? I mean, venture capitalists don't cook. So we had our Kickstarter, and people were like, oh, dang, I'm paying attention to you now, girl. Like, would you like some money? I'm like, yes. And I had a small seed round. It was like $875K, and that was in 2012. And now, like, we got revenue, we're ramping up, we were 3 people in my little apartment, now we're 10. Wow, with, like, real people who have launched things before, like Monica, who's on our team, she launched Dyson Air Multiplier in the United States. I'm like, dang, chick.
That's legit.
Mm-hmm. Hashtag Fempire.
Oh, that one. We have to talk about the Fempire. So, hashtag Fempire, Lisa and some other friends started this thing that she's going to tell us about.
It's a secret group on Facebook right now, and what it is, that I find badass women who are pulling other women up. You know, it's like, why smash the glass ceiling? Why have that big hole if we're not all crawling through it, you know? Ascend into the throne of in the air with me. And that's what the Fempire is all about. Like, girl, can I help you? Like, I'm gonna recruit people in the Fempire. That's a great place to find a job, great place to hear other ladies' stories. Like, how did you do it? How did you even do it? Because from here, it looks like it was magic. From here, it looks like I can't. And the Fempire, it's like, you can do it. And you can start right now.
I think that's fantastic. So we're going to beg for admission into the secret Fempire group. Facebook group. But it's like 6,000 strong.
Wow. Yeah.
You said you are not a minor empire.
It's not so secret.
It is secret. You can't find it. You have to be invited by another girl in the Fempire. Wow. Yeah. If you find your girlfriends hashtagging Fempire on their feeds, then you can ask them. They're in the know.
Hashtag squad goals.
Exactly.
Anyway, so we're going to ask Lisa to stay around because, like we said earlier, Lisa really just deserves her own radio show, so we can't let her go.
And she has a huge crush on our next guest, so girl crush. Hashtag.
There's that. So we're going to take a short station break, and we will be right back with Amy
Guitard.
Yes, we're learning how to say all these words today. We'll talk to you soon.
Still paying attention? Are you there? Hello, 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 hello. I'm talking to you. Hi. Hey, this is Jack Inslee. I'm the executive producer here at Heritage Radio Network. I've been here at the station since 2009, and I cannot believe just how much this network has grown over that time. We've been able to grow because of donations from people like you. So if you're enjoying this, if you laughed, if you learned something, contribute anything. $1, $2, $10, $100, $1,000, anything counts. And trust me, we'll appreciate seeing your name come through on the donations. So consider visiting heritageradionetwork.org, click on that little beating heart, the donate button, and show us you care. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoy the rest of the show.
Welcome back, everyone, to the second half of Radio Cherry Bomb. Our next guest is Amy Guittard, like we said before. She's the marketing director of Guittard Chocolates, which was founded in 1868 by her great-great-grandfather. That makes her the fifth generation of the San Francisco-based family business. She's also the first Guittard woman to work at the company, shockingly.
Well, good for you.
Good for you. And she's just published her first cookbook. How did you have time to do that?
I don't know. It's like my third job. I just go home and write.
But I guess chocolate's kind of in your blood.
It is. In reference to the cookbook, I'm a big home baker, and I'm as cliche as it might sound, as the first woman, I'm also the most avid of bakers in the family. So growing up baking, and you know, it was kind of like how I relaxed. So writing a book, it was just it's a book celebrating all the recipes that we've had in the family for five generations, families of employees, families of customers, and then our immediate family. So it was just telling the story, and I got to bake a lot, which was good.
And it's so crazy because originally, like, this company was founded during the gold rush in California.
Yeah.
Like, your great-great-grandfather came over to make his money in gold in San Francisco, and he brought some of his uncle's chocolates from France. So this family business has actually probably gone on for more than,
yeah, it's crazy to think about. In fact, I kind of did a little bit of research for the book, and I guess my family was involved in stonemasonry back in Europe as well. So if you think about it, way back in the day, like, no one just did one thing. You know, you didn't just make chocolate. So having the stonemasonry background, we were also doing like anything that you could grind. So tea, spices, coffee, chocolate was amongst them. And then there was this big earthquake, so they say, in 1906 in San Francisco, which burned down most of the city, including our factory. And we rebuilt. Once we rebuilt, that's when we consolidated down just to chocolate. So we were doing a whole bunch of stuff. And it's crazy for me to think about, you know, as different as San Francisco is right now, it's in a lot of the headlines. But to think about what was happening down on the Embarcadero way back in the day, and it was such a commodity hub. You know, there were all those like Hills Brothers Coffee and Folgers and then Ghirardelli and all these, just like the hubbub of what was happening down there. It just kind of makes me nostalgic for that. So yeah, lots of history, which is very humbling.
And you're still based out of San Francisco.
Yeah, we're actually about, our factory is about 10 miles south of San Francisco, but for all intents and purposes, we're in the city.
So did you fight being part of the family business?
No, I did not fight it. I love food. I've always worked in food. I worked for another company before working at Guittard. I was there for about 6 years. And there's just something really beautiful about marketing a food product, you know, is everyone consumes it. It brings people together. It's a whole sense of community. And I worked for a family business while I worked at Clif Bar, the energy bar company, and which is an awesome company. I learned a ton there, and then moved over to the family business. And it was just a really seamless transition. I just kind of like had this calling and ended up going over there and doing a lot of brand refresh stuff, which kind of gave the brand a little bit of a new look and launched some new products. And I eat a lot of chocolate, which is always great. But yeah, I mean, that's what I think is so fun about what we do is it's everyone loves chocolate. And
was it always an assumption, though, that you would work for the family business? Like, were you groomed as a child to one day work for this company?
I don't think so. You know, I think that my dad, who I work with right now, and was always really good about just supporting me and doing whatever I wanted to do. And it just kind of, the path led me there. But no, I mean, I have memories of us, you know, eating chocolate at certain family occasions, or, you know, I'd go down to the factory and climb all over the bean bags in the bean room and do cartwheels from the factory door to my grandfather's desk and, you know, little things like that. But you know, it's just, I had my own sorts of, when I was little, I wanted to be a bus driver or a cheerleader. So put those two together and here I am.
Marketing director for a chocolate company.
Best bus ever.
Yeah, right?
You're kind of a cheerleader.
Yeah, yeah.
In a sense. So, Claudia, I'm guessing this is one of your questions, but I'm really intrigued about the sustainability part of it because you've definitely gotten involved with that. So can you tell us all about that?
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge sort of topic. I can talk about it forever. I was just in West Africa. I was in Côte d'Ivoire, says the girl who doesn't speak French, otherwise known as Ivory Coast. And I was there visiting some farmers, looking at our supply chain and understanding, you know, the different components of the market and how we can work closer with our farmer groups. You know, I think as a commodity, it's a lot of small shareholders who are growing. So cocoa grows on a tree. Some people don't realize that. It's in a pod that grows on the trunk of the tree. You crack the pod open, and it's this beautiful sort of, I almost describe it, it looks like a pomegranate, but that's not a great, it's like the closest thing I can describe, but it's about yay big, and those of you listening can't see my hands.
Maybe like a delicata squash?
Yeah. Maybe? Yeah.
Because everybody knows how big those are.
Yeah. But once you crack open the pod, you've got to harvest the beans. And so they're very delicate. They start fermenting the right immediately once they get exposed to air. And so it's a very sort of quick process, and it's a science unto itself what happens on the farm before the beans even come to us. So having that collaboration and conversation with the farmers is really a crucial component in terms of the flavor development and in terms of us getting high quality beans. And then once we get the beans, then we kind of do our own sort of artistry to them. But there are so many hot topics right now in terms of the quote unquote sustainability and working on the farm and, you know, the whole concept of like the noble farmer and things like that. And for us, it's all about that collaborative relationship. You know, we're a business built on relationships and built on people. And so for us, it's having that dialogue. We've got farmers who send us beans and we'll make it into a chocolate that we can then taste with them and together work on finessing whatever they do on the farm that gets us to a bean quality that suits our needs. So, you know, and then there's that, you know, all sorts of supposed things about the shortage of cocoa and, you know.
Is that true?
That would be tragic.
You know, it's just, I'm kind of opening up a can of worms here, and I don't intend to, but it's the principles of supply and demand and, you know, economics and the market fluctuates. It's an agricultural product. And so it's going to do well some seasons and other seasons due to different climates and things like that. You might see other results. So, you know, we're firm believers that the market will sort of correct itself. I don't think anyone has anything to worry about. I am still eating chocolate at 9 a.m. So, yeah, I eat chocolate all the time, and I'm not concerned about any sort of shortage. So
tell us about this whole rebrand that you've been doing. Like, what are some of your favorite new products that you've introduced?
Well, we just relaunched, I should say, some of our, we call them eating bars.
You've brought some for us today.
I did. We call them eating bars, but you can eat everything. So, but as opposed to baking bars, I guess that's where the distinction comes from. But, we just launched these new chocolate bars. We've got 7 SKUs. We make a 38 and a 45. So 2 different milks. One's a bit darker than the other. The 45's darker. It's totally different sort of milk chocolate. It's more of like a sour dairy note, creme fraiche, and then the 38 is more of like a fresh dairy. And then we make a 64, we make a 70 and a 72. Even those two are so decidedly different. The 72 has no added cocoa butter, and the flavor note is a very sort of coconutty flavor, which is very kind of attributed to West African cocoa. It's a blend. And then our 70 has added cocoa butter, and the two couldn't be more different. And then we have an 85, which has no added cocoa butter, and then a 91, which is super dark.
Claudia is getting very excited. Amy, I forgot to tell you / warn you that Claudia is probably the biggest fan of dark chocolate
Are
that
you?
I know. She collects it, like some people collect, I don't know.
Beanie Babies.
Well, you might get a special package in the mail of all of our
really?
Super darks.
Ooh.
But so those we're really excited about. And what's fun for us is, you know, most of our chocolate that we make is for pastry chefs on the wholesale side. So pastry chefs, wholesale businesses, you might not even know you're having Guittard chocolate when you go into a store or order a dessert. So it's fun for us to have the consumer line and be able to provide that to home bakers and who are interested in doing more of like the professional approach to baking and be able to use the same things that are being used in some really top restaurants. And these chocolate bars that we just launched, a lot of the blends are also available on the as a professional product. So we just have a lot of fun sort of educating consumers about it, and then also getting new stuff in front of chefs. And then also what's super exciting as well is that these have sunflower lecithin in them. So a lot of chocolate has soy lecithin, which is an emulsifier, and these are using sunflower lex. So there's no soy in them, soy-free, and then they're also certified fair trade.
How was that decision made to drop the soy?
You know, we just, the way that we create products is very sort of, we just sit around a table and try different stuff, and we love to listen to what our consumers and our users are requesting. And so it was kind of just a result of us sitting around and hearing kind of what the market was telling us, and we were like, let's just go for it. So and my dad always says sunflower just sounds nice.
It does sound nicer.
Which is, I agree.
I've used your baking wafers, which I love. They're like discs, mm-hmm. basically small discs of chocolate, and you can cut them up and chop them up and use them. And I made the fake chocolate chip cookie dough, raw cookie dough, from the Lookbook cookbook. Mm-hmm. That's so funny, you have to say it twice. It's so good, and your chocolate was so amazing in it. It's the easiest recipe to make. It's ground up cashews, and I thought when you put cashews in a blender you'd wind up with like cashew butter.
Yeah,
but it's like a flour. It's kind of amazing. So you wind up with this flour, and then it's coconut oil, maple syrup, tiny bit of salt. I think I added that on my own. Your chopped up baking wafers, which I had in the kitchen, dark chocolate to keep it vegan, and probably forgetting an ingredient. You combine it all. You put it in the freezer so it sets, and you can also kind of roll it into little balls before it sets too hard. And they're like frozen chocolate chip cookie dough balls, and they are the best things ever.
Oh, yeah.
It won't make you miss, like, real cookie dough. Not that yum. Claudia's like, oh, yeah, I miss real cookie dough. I love cookie. It's like cookie dough is, like, my favorite food group. Speaking of vegans, because Lookbook Cookbook is, it's a vegan website. It's really fantastic. Did you guys see the story in the Times about vegans and all these glamorous vegans?
Today is National Vegan Day, I think.
Oh.
Yeah, I think that's why that article came out.
Okay. Have you seen, I mean, more people are into dark chocolate, like Claudia, but have you seen a big increase in the interest
in dark chocolate? I feel like dark and raw.
Yes, I would agree. There are a lot of people who inquire about raw. You know, it's a little bit of a tricky subject with the raw thing because cocoa is just, it's such a, you know, it's not the cleanest when you get it. And so doing a raw product is a little bit concerning. But people do it. I support that. But yeah, I mean, a lot of people love the dark. Everyone comes up to us and asks for, you know, what's your darkest? And then I hand them 100% unsweetened bar. And then they're like, well, like, it's really good. I promise you, I eat it all the time. You know, I think that people think that that's what they should like. I think they think that it's a sign of sophistication. Milk chocolate's very difficult to make. It's a matter of getting getting the right kind of milk, doing the processing, things like that. So, you know, I think that it's a little bit of, doesn't really get the, it gets a little bit of a bad rap, but this 38% organic milk chocolate wafer that's sitting here, I think I've eaten probably 3/4 of the bag, which is why it's,
that's why it's open.
Oh. Yeah, go figure.
They don't sell it that small.
Yeah, so.
I'm getting a little nervous, Claudia.
Why?
Because Lisa hasn't said two words.
Oh my gosh, Lisa, do you have any questions for Amy?
I'm salivating too hard to open my mouth. That's what's happening. Amy, so, you get out a lot.
Do I?
Like, yeah. Like, is that like a part of your job? Is that it, like, to get the word out?
Well, what does that even mean?
I know.
You get out a lot.
Yeah, yeah. And I feel like that's part of my job, to get the word out. You know, like, if I'm waiting in line for a restaurant, I will talk to everybody on that restaurant line and be like, hey, have you heard of Namiku? What's up? What's up? What's up? Like, do you feel like that's part of marketing?
I love to go out and eat. I don't know if I, you know, I'm always out and about, and I've got lots of friends who kind of work in the food world, especially in San Francisco. But I would actually never describe myself as one who's kind of I'm not a schmoozer. I'm not really a networker. I'm not a, but I do talk to everyone, like from the random person on the street to the, you know, I'll have like long conversations with the guy who checks me out at the grocery store.
Well,
I do love going to the grocery store as well.
Do you just have chocolate that you like hand out to everyone on the street corners?
I do. I usually do have a little stash of chocolate on me, but that's probably more for selfish reasons as opposed to anticipating handing it out to people. But
so you lead the helm of getting the word out at one of the most prestigious chocolate houses in the world. Like, do you have advice for people who are just starting their products? How do we do it?
Well, you know, I think for us, it's, you know, we've got people who've worked for us for 30 plus years, you know, and we all live and breathe the brand. And whether we're sitting behind a desk writing an email or whether we're out and about eating at a restaurant, we're always, you know, I even have my friends who will ask, we'll go out to dinner and then they'll ask chefs, oh, what kind of chocolate do you use? So I don't necessarily have to ask because it can always be a little bit, I'm like, oh, let's get the chocolate tart. And then you will be like, but what kind of chocolate do you use? And, you know, it's just always a weird predicament. But, you know, I always am a firm believer in taste. We always say this thing at the office, taste has memory. And if you let someone have a taste of something that you make with your awesome Kickstarter, or if you give someone a taste of your chocolate, they'll remember that moment, they'll remember that product, hopefully. And then you'll have just that sort of visceral sort of experience. And again, like, food is, we, you know, we all eat it, we all come together and celebrate. It's that, again, as cliche as it sounds, it's a brings people together as a community. So it's not too hard to, you know.
Oh, good.
Talk about it.
Oh, girl. Okay, so here's what's going to happen. I'm going to be your wing woman. We're going to order all the chocolates at a restaurant, and I'll be there like, oh, is this chocolate guitar? Because it's good. And then you'll go back and be like, oh, was this sous vide with a namiku? Because, yeah, you know, that's what everybody
tag
else is
teaming.
Using.
Tag team.
Watch out, San Francisco. This you're in trouble. So, Claudia, I think this is going to be our first joint speed round.
Speed round. All right, ladies.
Whoa.
I'm going to ask you some questions. Just say the first thing that comes to mind.
Well, uh-oh. No, maybe not for Lisa Fetterman. Maybe Lisa should not say the first thing that comes to mind.
Lisa's got
to center
herself.
Maybe she should think for 2 seconds and then... But Lisa's been on really good behavior. She has not dropped an F-bomb, nothing. You've been an angel.
Fudge.
Who's going first?
Amy, ladies first.
do you want to ask one question? They can each answer it.
Okay. Amy, coffee or tea?
Coffee.
And how
lots
do you like
coffee.
It?
With a little splash of whole milk.
Coffee and tea.
Both.
Yeah, I gotta have it. Gotta start with coffee and with tea.
I could use more tea in my life. Let's just be honest.
What's in your fridge right now?
Oh my goodness. Well, I've been on the road, as they say, for the last... 2 weeks.
What's rotting in your fridge back in San Francisco?
Yeah. Well, I do, as I said, I love going to the grocery store. So I can't not buy vegetables, and I also have a very difficult time throwing them away. So probably like wilted kale and a very wilted carrot or two.
They still might be okay when you get back.
Yeah, maybe.
Lisa?
I got hella sauces from Kickstarter projects that I back. I've backed over 50 Kickstarter projects with sauces. Yeah, yo.
Do you have Khaleesi's?
I am going to get all of Khaleesi's sauce. I didn't even know she made that.
I didn't know either. All right. Favorite food and least favorite food.
Oh, my gosh. Favorite food. Let me think about it. Go to Lisa.
Favorite food would be tomato and egg scramble. It's like a classic Chinese dish. Yumyum.com. And least favorite food, durian. I can't get into it. I always force myself to eat it each time, and
some
I cannot.
Some people love it. I don't love it.
I've only had durian ice cream in Vietnam. That won't surprise Claudia. Ugh. It was good.
There's a reason you're not allowed to bring in the subways in
Asia.
It's
like a dying, a decomposing body, basically.
Okay, so least favorite would be mayonnaise. I know, I just got a gasp. It's mostly because it's a trickle down from my mom. She can't stand it. Therefore, I can't stand it. I can't even wash a plate with it. Anyways. And then favorite food. I do love chocolate, but I would have to say probably like a brioche French toast.
Favorite drink?
Coffee?
a nice ice cold glass of Chablis. Yeah.
Favorite kitchen tool?
Oh, the whisk. Sorry, sorry.
Come wing on, girl. Not a good wing woman today.
The Namiku sous vide immersion circulator.
Let me go back. Reverse. Namiku sous vide
immersion circulator.
Circulator.
Yes.
Trademark.
Hashtag vampire.
What's your go-to restaurant?
Bar Tartine.
Good one.
Ooh, dang. You make it hard for me.
Mel's Diner.
Saison. F yeah.
Yeah, do you go there every night? I'm assuming you go there.
You know,
a lot.
The thing about Saison is that you can just sit at the bar and have an ice cold glass of Chablis. Yeah.
All right, we'll have to do that next time we're in San Francisco. Where do you want to travel to next? What's your dream vacation?
Japan. Oh, my God. Just go into any hole and eat. It's my fantasy.
I'm imagining...
The Japan Tourism Authority would love that as its as its new slogan.
You know it's true, though.
It is true.
I would pick like a island with a really good point break where I can surf and catch fish. So this is somewhat of an imaginary place. And like climb trees and get coconuts and drink fresh coconuts. So that would be another good drink.
Coconut.
Favorite drink.
What foods are you craving lately?
Well, I'm a bit under the weather, and as I was explaining as we started, when I'm a bit sniffly, all I care for is gluten, which I am apparently allergic to, but I still eat tons of it, and orange juice. So, like, I tried to go to Arcade Bakery this morning to get their laminated baguette, but apparently it doesn't come out of the oven until 1. So I was really craving that. And then whenever I'm in New York, I always crave the Bouvette big slice of bread with like honey and bee pollen and walnut deliciousness. So pretty much anything with sugar and flour.
Food that I'm craving?
Yes.
It would have to be like everything that I see in front of me. I guess right now I'm really excited about Fuku. I'm going there tonight. Fuku Plus.
Nice.
Plus, plus, plus.
So chicken sandwich in your future?
Mm-hmm. It's going to feel so good.
The Plus has many other things, though. So, sounds like a good future.
I'm going to order everything and then take a bite of each. You're laughing, but this is what I do.
You could... No one makes Claudia laugh the way you do. This is... I've never seen you laugh so much. Anyway, I really hate to end the show. I feel like we could talk to you both.
No, but it's time.
for another hour. All the way from San Francisco... We're giant fans of both of yours, so
I'm glad you came to Bushwick to meet instead of San Francisco.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You guys can't see this, but Amy and I just high-fived, and then rainbow spit it out, and like money and stuff. And it's like a confetti explosion of
unicorns,
awesome.
All of it. So thank you for listening to another Radio Cherry Bomb. I'm Carrie Diamond.
And I'm Claudia Blue.
And thank you, big thank you, to American Express Open for supporting this season of Radio Cherry Bomb and for supporting small businesses across the country. Don't forget to shop small and support the indie businesses in your neighborhood. Small Business Saturday is taking place on November 28th, so it's less than 2 months away. We'll be talking about ways to get involved over the next few weeks, but in the meantime, check out shopsmall.com to learn more about how you can be a neighborhood champion, rally your community, and support the small businesses in your hood. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Hi, this is Erin Fairbanks. I'm the executive director here at Heritage Radio Network. Radio Cherry Bomb is a joint production of Cherry Bomb Magazine and the Heritage Radio Network. To subscribe or learn more about the magazine, visit cherrybomb.com. You know who I think is the bomb? Issa Nichols. Issa is the executive director of performaarts.org And they are about to kick off their 15th biennial arts celebration here in New York City. Definitely check them out, supporting visual arts for the last 15 years. Totally awesome. Issa, you're the bomb.